This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi, Inspired Design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi, truth in engineering.
Well, Mike Tirico is in Brazil anchoring ESPN's coverage of the World Cup. He will be in Royal Liverpool next week anchoring the network's coverage of the Open Championship. It's a pleasure to welcome Mike Tirico back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Michael.
Hello, John. Nice to talk to you from this far away. It's a different part of the Atlantic Ocean that I'm looking at today as opposed to next weekend, but that's the joy of the job, I would say.
How much has gotten back to you guys about just how popular the World Cup has been here?
I think a lot. I think social media changes that. The instantaneous feedback, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, the ability to communicate more with your family back home than maybe even 2010, 4 years ago when I was in South Africa, or certainly other years of covering the Open Championship. Everything gets back to you right away, and you do have a sense, the American run, the interest in the other nations playing, that it's a growing sport in the U.S. We talk about the frustration for all of us who love golf, and we don't see the numbers growing in participation and other things. The numbers are growing in soccer, and I think the ratings, certainly for this World Cup, have shown that.
You know, that leads me to my next question. Everybody knows how consumed we are with sport in this country, all sorts of sports. How important is sports around the world in other nations?
I think significantly, and I think this is a tremendous example of that. The headquarters that we've had are on the tip of Copacabana Beach in Rio, which is an unbelievable place to go to work for 35 straight days, but also a great place for the world to gather here for this World Cup. And I see people from every country that's playing a match coming down the street, rooting for their team, being pulled together. And it is a universal language. And I think, John, that's why the U.S. team was received so well in this World Cup. I think in the past, America has not embraced other things, and we have not been embraced globally, and this sport's certainly part of it. But the U.S. viewing parties, the way the American team played, people around the world would stop me and say, hey, we like your team. And we don't hear that very often about U.S. teams or anything U.S. when we travel internationally. So it's I don't mean to overstate it, but it's great to see, and it's a great reminder of how sports can be unifying for countries. It's the one thing we can all agree to disagree about in a peaceful manner.
Here comes one of my hard-hitting questions. How's the food in Brazil?
Very, very good. Obviously, right along the Atlantic, so the fish choices are great. The steak is outstanding. Argentina, on the other side of the country, more of the continent, more known for its beef products. But every variety of food, very, very comfortable place to come to after you leave the U.S. You know, the language is a barrier because it's not Spanish, it's Portuguese. But other than that, very comfortable, good to get around. It's a country that has a chance. 200 million people, fifth largest in population and in geography. Takes up half of South America. Has a great chance to put on a terrific face if they can get their internal issues settled for the Olympics in Rio, which of course will be the first Olympics that will feature golf.
Yep.
So the golf world will have its eyes on Rio in some way, shape, or form in about 24 months.
Have you had the chance? How's the golf course coming along? Have you had the chance to dig into that at all?
Great question. I have that planned on one of our last off days here before I do head over. I want to go see the Gilhance project and see where they are and just get a sense of that golf course as well. The schedule for work has had us on the air every day there was a match, and with all the recordings on off days, I have not had time to go play, which is disappointing. I was hoping to do that, but I'm going to try to check it out and make sure I see it with my own eyes before I head off to the Open Championship.
Speaking of the Open Championship, when you think back to when you first started covering the Open Championship, did you think there would come a time when you'd be heading to that golf tournament and that Phil Mickelson would be the defending champion.
Absolutely not.
Nope.
And I don't think Phil thought that either. And I remember very vividly a conversation that I had with Phil and Jim McKay during a practice round, a late afternoon, back in, I believe it was 03. I forget the year, but I remember the conversation vividly. And Phil just, in a candid moment, speaking of his frustration of flighting the ball properly, and that this type of golf is not suited to him and to his brilliance around the greens. And he found a way, and he found a combination. He found a year and a golf course that fit, and he had really one of the great back nines in the history of the major championships. When you go back and look at the birdies and the number of birdies he made on that last nine on Sunday compared to the other players in the top 10, it was just one of those stretches of golf that if it happens on Friday, it was nice to see it. If it happens on Saturday, it may be the reason you were in position to win. But when it happens on Sunday, it's the stuff of legend. And it was, and you couldn't be happier to see Phil Mickelson, who's been so close so often, more often than anyone else in the history of the U.S. Open, to see him win a third different major, and it be, as you said, shockingly, the Open Championship, not the U.S. Open Championship.
We are talking with Mike Tirico, previewing next week's Open Championship. I mean, there are so many memories of the telecast beginning, and Tiger would be on one or two, and Phil would be finishing his fourth round on 16 right. or 17. I never thought this guy was going to win that golf tournament.
No, and I'm glad he did, because I think it has put him, in my mind, John, in just a different level of appreciation. To win three different majors, the group is so small, and we know he has the game and has come as close as anyone to winning the U.S. Open with those seven runner-up finishes, that it reminds you what a great golfer he is. His career will be looked back historically, and he's already in the Hall of Fame, in a different way because he was able to win at a place in a championship, I should say, where nobody thought he would win it. And good for him for accepting it, good for him for understanding. And he came close. He got closer the last few years and played better golf, had better rounds of golf. And it was the circumstance that it was there for the taking. And when something's there for the taking and Mickelson feels confident, I still won't bet against him for another 3, 4, 5 years, no matter how sporadic his play is, no matter his health. That's a guy who I just believe when he steps on a tee, he can make anything from 3 to 8 at any point. And that is some of the joy of watching Phil Mickelson play for these 20-some-odd years.
When you think back to that Open of 2006, Tiger's win yeah. at Royal Liverpool, what do you think about the most? What do you remember most about that?
You know, with Tiger coming back this year, I gave it some thought just the other day, and it was Tiger perhaps at his finest. And I say that because mentally he was strong after the loss of his dad, and we saw how much it meant when he broke down in the arms of then caddy Steve Williams. There was mental strength. There was strength of choice on the tee, second shots, avoiding bunkers, using one driver for the whole week, placement. It's the power is a great thing when harnessed and used properly. You know, you don't take a NASCAR vehicle on Washington Road. You know, you got to use it smart. You got to use it the right way. And I think Tiger at that 06 Open Championship was able to put together everything that made him good in one four-round just display, holing out on 14 back on Friday, I believe it was, just the precision that he used throughout. You step back and you say, if you go back and pick out different major championships that had a little twinge of more special among the 14, that one, his third Open Championship, goes right there with him for me.
So what will surprise you more next weekend, if Tiger is not playing the weekend or if Tiger's in contention?
If he's in contention. Mm. And I don't think I've ever said that going into a major, because I always, I'm a favorite better. And I would take my chances with the proven over time, because I think picking the person who can come out of nowhere for the first time in their career is so impossible to forecast. But he really hasn't contended pretty much all year, anywhere.
Were you surprised he came back when he did? Were you surprised he's going to be there next week?
When When I heard he was hitting balls, I wasn't surprised. I think he wanted to get at least one event in before the Open Championship. You know, this is going to be a very interesting stretch for Tom Watson as well.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Ryder Cup. Now, the Ryder Cup's not the be-all, end-all. The majors are more important. But everybody loves to talk about the Ryder Cup, and there's going to be a lot of conversation between now and that run of the PGA Championship and then a few weeks beyond. What does Tom do? If Tiger's playing well, do you take him, knowing that he has not shown it for anything but a short burst here? Does Tiger make the FedEx Cup playoffs? Is he playing sharp going into a potential Ryder Cup selection? It's such an odd circumstance that you have, you know, certainly the best player of his generation, and if he's healthy and playing golf and can play 72 holes of golf, and he's of the, you know, he's of the age of most of the guys who were on the team, or it's certainly a bit older, but in that age window, do you keep a 14-time major champion off your Ryder Cup team? It's a befuddling question, and I think this will set the table for the next few. Can Tiger play well? Can he play four rounds? Can he show Tom Watson that, okay, between now and the PGA, there's going to be reasons to say, got to have this guy on my team. Very interesting, and that is such a side story to it, but that's one that I haven't heard a lot of conversation about that intrigues me. I would be surprised if he contends just because it's been so long, but, you know, that's the one guy you'd never count out mm-hmm. because he's done things that other people haven't or won't.
Well, I deeply appreciate you taking the time to do this. I know your schedule is crazy in Brazil. Thank you, Michael. Look forward to the rest of the World Cup, and I look forward to next week. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we look forward to it as well. Great to catch up with you again, John.